I was talking last night with some friends who are currently on one of the cruise ships that I have traveled on before, and they were telling me about how wonderful the buffet was, and how wonderful, and how much food they had, and how much they ate. And I thought to myself, you know, there is something truly devilish about buffets. And then this morning, as the choir was singing, "It Is Well With My Soul," I saw my proof for it. Though Satan should buffet. Sorry, I just couldn't resist it. I couldn't resist it. I couldn't resist that. I'm sorry. But I'm bumped. Yeah, I need to have a rim shot back here. Sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation. Yes, indeed. Would you pray with me? Almighty, most gracious Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel and sense your divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which you mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just as another little piece of preamble to the message today, you heard in the reading this morning from John's Gospel, and Jesus said, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. I always thought it was interesting. In the Bible, usually numbers are not specific like that. In the Bible, usually numbers are 150 or 10 or 7 or 144,000. It's not 153. So why does it say 153? And if you come to worship tonight, you'll hear why it says 153. Tempt. Come on. Okay. At worship tonight, we will look at this passage again, specifically at the passage dealing with the hauling aboard of 153. One, two, three, 153 large fish. So I encourage you to come for worship tonight. Okay. Today I want to turn to Jesus' address to Peter. What he had to say to Peter concerning love and the repeated calling to love. There's a lot that can be drawn from this passage. There's a lot that can feed us and help us to understand what Jesus has for us to do as his disciples and his apostles in this world. There's a lot here that can inform our understanding, and especially if you take a look, a very close look at the way in which this is written in the Gospel of John, in its original language in Greek. So today I want to ask you to sort of bear with me as we take a look at a couple of just two Greek words that are used here and the ways in which they are used and how that usage enlightens us about love. Jesus, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Now, in English, that sounds pretty straightforward. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Same word used, L-O-V-E, love. Unfortunately, the translation here, in every single English translation I have ever seen, is wrong. Yep, it's wrong. The first usage, Jesus speaking, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? The word here, love, in English, translates the Greek word agapao, which is the verb form for the noun for love, agape. All right? Agapao, the verb form of the noun, agape, which is the highest form of love. Peter's response is, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. English translated love sounds the same, but it's not. The Greek word that Peter used here is phileo. You ever heard the city of brotherly love, and that's Philadelphia? And you ever wondered why Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love? Because it comes from phileo and Delphos, the city of brotherly love, affection, like. Okay. So here we have two different words being used. Jesus saying, Peter, do you love me? Agape love. And Peter's response is, Lord, you know I love you. Phileo love. He does it again. Jesus, a second time, says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. The second time, again, Jesus says, do you love me? Agapao, agape love, the highest love. And Peter's response is, yes, Lord, you know I love you, phileo love. A third time. Jesus says to a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. This third time, when Jesus said, do you love me? He didn't ask, do you love me agapao love, agape love? Do you love me with the highest divine form of love? No. Jesus asks, do you love me? And he uses the same word Peter had been using all along, phileo. Do you love me? Do you phileo me? And Peter was hurt because of the change in the question. And his answer was, yes, you know I love you. Phileo, love. I said it three times, Lord. You know I love you with phileo, love. So, we have two words here used for love. In English, it's translated love each time. But in Greek, there is an important critical difference between agape, agapao, the verb form, and phileo. There's a big difference. There are three words for love in Greek. There's eros, sexual love, phileo, brotherly, sisterly love, affection, like, and then there's agape, agapao love, the highest divine form of love. Eros sometimes is translated lust, and it is a physicality type of affection. Phileo is love given for what is received, or love given to receive. Oh, they sent me a Christmas card. I guess I'll have to send one back. Or, he hugged me. I guess I'll have to hug him back. Or, you know, they were very nice to me. They brought me some wonderful cookies and cakes. I guess I need to give back more of the same. It's a likeness. That's affection. It's love that comes in response to having received or in order to get affection. All right? Agape, agapao, the verb form, agape love is love given because of the lover, not the beloved. The nature of the lover, the one doing the loving. God loves us because God is God, and God's nature is to love. And that love takes many manifestations, many natures, many characteristics. Sometimes it's a very tough, difficult love. A love that calls us to righteousness, a love that calls us to justice, a love that calls us to accountability. And it does all of that. But it's also a love that sends His Son to the cross to die for our sins. A love that loves beyond sight and beyond mind and beyond reason. A love that loves beyond emotion. A love that is far beyond any human characteristic. It's a love that God and God alone has of His nature. We experience that love in Jesus Christ in His death on the cross for our sins. And we then can experience and share it with others by the inspiration and empowering of the Holy Spirit. It's divine love. Love that gives not to receive anything in return. Love that gives not in hopes of receiving anything at all, but rather love that gives because the lover loves. And it is in His nature to love. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me with that kind of love?" Simon, son of John. And it's interesting, he doesn't use Peter's nickname, Peter, or in Aramaic, Kepha. He doesn't use his Aramaic nickname, Rocky. Instead, he uses his actual given name, Simon, son of John. Do you love me more than these? Agapao, agape love. And Peter, God love him, he's honest. "You know I phileo you. I like you. I am affectionate towards you. I love you because of what you did for me. I love you in response to what you have done for me. I love you because you died for me and have forgiven me, phileo, love. I love you because I know you and have learned from you, and you have died for me. I love you, phileo, love." Second time Jesus asks the question. He's searching for something here. "Do you love me?" he says. "Do you love me?" he says. And the answer is very simple. "Yes, you know I love you. Phileo, love. Because you died for me." And so Jesus, realizing that Peter wasn't yet to the point where he was capable of responding from the Holy Spirit's presence within him with the kind of love that comes only from God and for no other reason than God loves, he reaches down to where Peter is. "Do you phileo me? Do you love me with that kind of love?" And Peter's response is, you know I love you. I've already told you twice. I love you for what you did for me." Notice what Jesus says to him each time after Peter responds. "Feed my lambs," the first time. "Tend my sheep." Actually, that word ought to be translated defend, protect, take care of my sheep. And then the third time, "Feed my sheep." Each time Jesus calls him to feed, to take care of, to shepherd his sheep, his lambs. That's an important calling in response to God's love. So what do we have here? We have Peter incapable at this point of responding, of giving forth to Jesus the ultimate divine form of agape love that only God can give for us to give. And so Jesus reaches down to where Peter is and says, "Do you love me, Phileo?" And Peter's response is yes. What does this tell us? It's very simple, my friends. It tells us that God does call us to the best. God does call us to the highest form of love. God does call us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to express to others and to God the love that God has for you and me. But if we can't, God does reach down to us, to where we are, wherever we may be, to however we can relate to Him, and takes our hand. Do you love me with the phileo love, the responsive love, the love that says thank you, and because you love me and died for me, I will love you back? He reaches down to where Peter was and relates with him there, but he doesn't leave him there. If you take a look later on in the Bible, in Peter's first letter, chapter 1, verse 8 of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "Although you have not seen him," Jesus, "you love him. And even though you do not know see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." Even though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And here he uses the word agape, agapao, a high divine form of love. So while right after the crucifixion and resurrection, there at the lakeside, he wasn't able to respond with agape love. He wasn't able to say, "You know, I love you, agapao." Later on, some 20 to 30 years later, Peter was able to say, "Even though many of you have never seen Jesus with your eyes, yet you have agapao love for him." In other words, Jesus reached down to where Peter was and brought him up over time. So that while when it first began, he could only say, "I love you because you died for me." Later on, he says, "I love you. I simply do with the love that you have given me." And that raises an important distinction. What kind of love do you live? What kind of response to the gospel? What kind of response to the death and resurrection of Jesus? What kind of response to the forgiveness of your sins? What kind of response have you made, if any? "Well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Jesus died for me. I'm very thankful that he died for me. Whew! Boy, I was going to the wrong place, and now I'm going to the right place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you. I love you so much because you died for my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus." You're right. You were going to the wrong place. Because he died for you, because you have accepted him, you're going to the right place. But that's phileo love on your part. That's phileo love. That's where Peter was. "Thank you, Lord. You know I love you, Leo. You know I have affection for you. You know I like you," but it's really more than the English word "like." "You know I love you because you have loved me." Phileo love. And there's nothing wrong with that. We have to begin someplace. And thanking God and being thankful for Jesus dying for our sins so that we may not fear the Father and can enter into glory and don't have to fear the pit, that's good news. And we ought to start there. But that's not where God's going to leave us. Look for the Holy Spirit. Look for the grace of God. Look for the power of the transforming life of God in you. Take that simple phileo love and not do it away. It's going to be there still. But transform it and empower it and grow it until it becomes God's divine love working in us. So that we love God not just because Jesus died for us, not just because he forgave our sins. That's loving because you've gotten something. No. We love God because God has put within us a core, a center, a power of his love that loves others, including God. Do you catch that difference? One comes from our own ego saying, I lucked out. Jesus died for me. I lived in a time when I could hear the gospel. I lived in a time when I heard the good news and I could say, yes, Lord, I thank you. I want to be your child. I want to follow you. I turn my life over to you. Man, I'm glad I was born in the 20th century in the United States of America where I could hear the gospel proclaimed. Wow. That's phileo love. He's going to take that, if he hasn't already, and transform your life around that so that finally God's love seats inside your heart and is transforming your heart and your life and the old man of sin within so that instead of just saying, thank you for dying for my sins, it becomes, I love you, Lord, period. Where are you? Where is your love today? Is the love of God, the love of God which goes beyond human comprehension? There's a wonderful song. It's in the Heavenly Highway Hymns hymnal. The love of God is greater far than love or pen can ever tell, the tongue or pen can ever tell. It reaches to the furthest star and descends to the lowest hell. If we with ink the ocean filled, and were the sky a parchment made, where every man on earth a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That love of God that goes beyond our human comprehension can live in your heart today. And instead of just saying, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I love you because you did it. Instead, that love of God that would drain the ocean dry can live in your heart today. Let it. Let it live in your heart. Let it come forth from your heart and flow out to those you meet, to every person that you meet, to every person in the pews next to you, to every person outside these doors. My friends, we are called to allow God to break down the barriers between us and others by his agape love. And he calls us to feed his sheep, to tend his sheep, his flock. We are called, that's a word, yes, it's to Peter. Yes, it's to one of the apostles and the greatest of them. But my friends, it's to every one of us. He calls you, as much as me, to feed and tend, nurture, and protect his flock. And we cannot be about nurturing and protecting his flock if we're fighting each other and backbiting each other and gossiping about each other and refusing to share the gospel with those we meet and pretending as though there is nobody that lives out there that we know that doesn't need Jesus. Because my friends, There are more people than you know than you can possibly imagine that need the Lord. There may be some in this room today that need to know the Lord again. My friends, my sisters and brothers, this ruminates around in my mind and my heart again and again and again. I am called to be your shepherd. Like Peter, Jesus says to me, "Do you love me? Then tend and feed my sheep." And that's a responsibility to me as your shepherd, as Jesus' under-shepherd, as the appointed pastor of this church. I'm called to take care of you, to care for you, to pray for you, to seek you when you've gone astray, to help shepherd you back to the flock, and to help equip you for mission and ministry in this world. But that's not just my responsibility, my friends. It is most importantly mine, and I take that seriously. My friends, I thank and I pray for my fellow pastors in this world who do not realize that they are called to be shepherds, protecting their flock and nurturing their flock. I'm reminded of that wonderful cartoon, the coyote and the sheepdog. And the coyote's out there trying to steal the sheep. And the sheepdog always seems to foil him. He's sitting up there on the hillside with the hair over his eyes. You can't see a thing, obviously. And here comes the coyote out there to steal a sheep. And he comes out there and he picks up the sheep and he starts to carry it away on his back. And the sheep gets off the coyote's back and unzips his front and out comes a sheepdog. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be watching out for each other. Sheep, yes, and sheepdogs for each other. We're called to be tending his lambs, tending the flock, and feeding the herd. My friends, as God's under-shepherd here, I pray for us. I pray for you. Because Satan is out there prowling. And he wants a buffet. And on that buffet isn't no beef and chicken and pork and fish. It's lamb chops, and that's you. He wants you. And I'm going to tell him, no, he can't have you. Jesus has you. Feed my lamb. Tend my sheep. Do you love me? Jesus asks you. Then feed, tend my sheep. What are you going to say? How are you going to respond? With the ego-oriented, thank you, Lord, I love you because you loved me and died for me? Or with the high divine love that only Jesus can give, that can only come into our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit, which can transform our rocky hearts as it transformed Peter, Rocky's heart. And are we going to love God and love each other with the love of God? That's the question today. And that's the question I leave you with. Do you love me? And if you do, Jesus tells us, feed, care for my sheep. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.